All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. Coming your way in 20 minutes, we've got Canadian Bacon, the night in pucks and puns in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Also coming up this hour here on the DA Show, stay right there, because the Miami Heat are up 2-1 after a big Game 3 comeback after a disappointing and lackluster effort in game number 2. And so we see now a 2-1 series lead by the Miami Heat. They've done their job in seizing home court advantage back. And we'll talk about what it means if the Heat are able to win two more games and make their way through to another NBA Finals. Plus, coming up later on in the show, Meta World Peace is going to join us. How cool is that? We'll talk NBA playoffs with him. After last night, the Warriors end up winning 109-100 at home in Dallas. That was a must-win game in many ways for the Dallas Mavericks. Nobody's ever come back from down 3-0 in NBA playoff history. And so for the Warriors to go there and come back after the Mavs had an early lead was a dagger for the Warriors and a dagger to the solar plexus of this Dallas Mavericks team. Luka had 40, 11 boards, but not enough scoring around him. And I think this is going to be one of those games that the Mavericks look at in the offseason and go, we're good. Luka's great. We're not good enough. Look at what happened in game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. We're not far, but we're not good enough to get by really elite teams, and you can see why right here. We got out-rebounded, and our supporting cast just shot the ball poorly for most of the night. And if Luka didn't give us 40 and 11, who knows where we would be? We've got to give him a number 2. But I want to talk a little football here, because I just mentioned Bud Grant. I don't know about you, but Bud Grant to me lives in my mind as like a mythical figure. Because Bud Grant was the head coach of those Purple People Eaters of the 70s that went to 4 Super Bowls and 3 with him. And he just was the symbol of old school NFL toughness. I mean, you got to understand Bud Grant's background. The man is 95 years old and was born in Superior, Wisconsin. This is a man that was born and raised in the 20s and 30s in Superior, Wisconsin. That's a tough guy. That's a tough dude. Okay, when he was young, he was diagnosed with weak leg muscles, and they worried about him walking and running. And so the doctor suggested, you know what? Get active in sports. Build up those leg muscles. Today, oh, they'd be all freaking out about this. But in the 30s, They're like, yeah, young buddy boy should go out and he should fish and hunt and play baseball and play football and play basketball and cross-country ski, and he should hike from state to state, and he should go see the world by hitchhiking and hopping the train to go see the Great West. This is a man that spent time outdoors as a kid hunting rabbits. Bud Grant is just of a different America. He's of a completely different American civilization. And he grows up in the 30s and then becomes a coach by like the 40s. Well, he's playing in the 40s and then is a head coach, you know, in the 50s and 60s. He becomes a head coach of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in 57. Imagine coaching the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in 1957. He's still alive. This guy is just an incredible relic. And so when he goes out for the coin toss a couple of years ago at 88 years old, and it's 13 below in January in Minnesota, and he's got short sleeves on, and everyone else is like, oh, it's so cold. We need the heat warmers and the gloves. And how can you play out in the cold? And can you throw the football? And he just like, I don't feel the cold. My arms are like ice picks. My back is like polar skin. I feel nothing. How can you not love this guy? So he's got these rules proposals. And of course, they'll never pass them because we now have this kind of gentler, safer NFL in some ways. But his rules ideas are awesome. They really are awesome. Number one, as I mentioned before the break, his first thing is no kneel downs. If you've got a lead and you've got the ball, I don't want to see your pansy ass kneel down. Run a play, damn it. And he says, you've got to gain a yard or the clock stops. You know, this would certainly add drama. Imagine holding a 3-point lead with 48 seconds to play, and the other team has no timeouts, but you can't take a knee. You've got to gain a yard or the clock stops. So you got to get a quarterback sneak push going or a handoff. Got to make sure you don't blow the handoff. Got to make sure there's no penalty. You know, it would be very dicey and interesting. The other thing is he wants no fair catches because, of course, no fair catches. He said, and this is great too. Now, he started in the Canadian Football League. He's in the CFL Hall of Fame. I attended enough meetings to know the NFL wants to avoid admitting Canadian football is a better idea about anything. Perfect. They should follow Canada and take away the fair catch. There's no fair catch in Canada, but the coverage also has to give the returner 5 yards. NFL people hear this and say, oh, it's going to increase injuries. The 5-yard cushion makes all the difference. My opinion is there won't be a real increase in injuries, and the punt would become an interesting play. Okay, so now no fair catches. You gotta field it and do something with it. But the coverage team gives you 5 yards. Makes things interesting. Certainly makes things interesting, does it not? There's gonna be some high-end collisions even if you give them 5 yards, but makes things interesting. He wants everything earned here, okay? And I respect that. And then finally, the best thing is he wants no touchbacks. Now, note that the NFL is bent over backwards to basically guarantee touchbacks because they have considered the kickoff play to be the most dangerous play in football. And Bud Grant says, why bother if your goal is to make the kickoff the most nothing play in football? They say it's about safety. Well, injuries happen at every play. They have made several changes on the way you can block on the kickoff. Keep those. But you wait 3 minutes through a timeout. They come back, kickoff, walk the ball out to 25. Timeout again. It's ridiculous. I say move the kickoff back 5 yards. And if you decide not to bring it out of the end zone, you don't get rewarded with the 25-yard line. You get the ball at the 15. So Bud Grant is saying, No touchbacks. Move the ball back 5 yards before the kickoff, meaning you won't kick it out of the back of the end zone. And instead of you get incentivized to just take a knee because you get it out of the 25, no, if you take a knee in the end zone, touchback, you get it at the 15. Again, earn everything. And, you know, Bud Grant is just from a completely different era. And I really respect that era. I really respect it. Now, I get why the NFL wants a safer game. They want less lawsuits, and they want more young people to play, and they want people to be less freaked out. And look, when you have football players walking around with CTE or all types of degenerative diseases, and you see them in wheelchairs or their slurred speech or their bodies withering away, it's really difficult to watch that for guys that we loved watching play. But I gotta respect Bud Grant for just wanting to earn everything. I mean, look, honestly, if I was putting together a new NFL and I didn't mind potential litigation and safety concerns, all these rules are better. They're all better. I mean, you can't take a knee. You got to get at least 1 yard or else the clock stops. Makes for more interesting ends of games. No touchbacks. You got to take the ball out of the end zone or else you're getting penalized to the 15. Makes for better kickoffs. And no fair catch. You got to give him a 5 yard halo, but makes for better punt returns. You know, Mraz, it's just that Bud Grant's from a different era, or else all of these suggestions would be better.
Yeah, I'm assuming by now The Rock is calling him on how to do next year's XFL.
It would make for a better XFL.
Perhaps. The only thing I'll say, the fair catchy with the 5 yard halo. Are you really getting more punt returns out of that, or more guys decapitated and fumbles on punt returns like crazy? That's the only one I would go, I don't know if you can't fair catch it.
Well, it makes for more interesting punts.
Yeah. Yeah, for us, the viewer, not the punt returner, that's for sure.
But let's just talk about the viewer. All of these rules changes are better.
Yeah, but you then start watching the way you watch NASCAR for a crash. You can't get up to get the chips and beer during a punt because you don't know if this guy's going to get leveled. I don't know. I think the game is exciting with enough hitting. I don't need the halo rule with the no fair catch. Plus, how are you going to determine 5 yards? It's not like hash marks are around in circles. That could become a little dicey. I don't know. But that being said, no kneel downs, I'm all for it. I know Greg Schiano would love it.
I think what that 5 yard halo around a punt return now, it would really create value for the Dante Halls of the world. The guys that can start, stop, slash quickly to be able to try to evade that first wave of punt coverage.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to make the case, there's 3, 4, 5 guys that suddenly will make a lot more money because they become a lot more valuable. That's for sure. I would agree. And probably be valued more in an NFL draft as well because every yard is going to matter.
And Dante Hall was a superstar for his time because he could do those things. Will we even see punt returners be a big thing anymore if everybody just takes fair catches all the time?
No, a lot of times you just put your safest, you know, hands back there.
Exactly.
Just make sure you don't muff it, which yeah. I guess that does take away a little element. I don't know. I don't watch football now with all the offensive rules and go, this isn't exciting enough. I don't know that I need leveling punt returners, Bud.
I just love Bud Grant. So let me give you this story on Dan Snyder as well. Dan Snyder has been in the crosshairs of the NFL for a couple of years, as we know. I think primarily because he was overseeing a toxic culture inside that organization. He treats people poorly, and he allows, when I say bad people, maybe it's too strong, but he allows unprofessionalism to run rampant inside his organization and empowers bad people. Sounds wrong, but you know what I'm getting at. And the NFL fined him $10 million and removed him from day-to-day operations because we had the email stuff come out with John Gruden. That was the tip of the iceberg. We only saw a very limited amount of the emails, and all of those were, you know, clearly not professional or proper for the workplace. And all of that was going back and forth with people employed with the Washington franchise, and there was much more that we did not see. So the NFL saw a really poorly run organization with a lot of unprofessional stuff, offensive behavior, lewd behavior, sexual misconduct, all this type of stuff. And this is kind of Dan Snyder's bit. He's just not a great guy. He's just not a good guy. So the NFL has had him in the crosshairs, but they have not ousted him as an owner in Washington yet. However, we could have the breaking point because now there's been a investigation and they have found that Dan Snyder was using two different lines of accounting. They would have events at their stadium, FedEx Field, and with those events, he would keep some of the profit in one book and some of the profit in the other book and would not report all of the NFL profit, and all of the NFL profit needs to be reported so that they can use it for revenue sharing. So he was ostensibly hiding money from fellow NFL owners so he wouldn't have to share it. And that's the breaking point. You can do a lot of things in the NFL. Racism, okay. Misogyny, totally fine. You know, a million types of internal violations with employees, but touch the money? No. Don't touch our money. And so with that, now there was a report over the weekend from USA Today, quote, there's a growing frustration about this situation, not over just one issue, but how much smoke there is, and everybody's getting tired of it. That was a direct quote from one anonymous team owner. Now, the Federal Trade Commission is looking into, and the Virginia Attorney General, not the Surgeon General that's looking into Mraz's lawsuit, that's looking into this, and Snyder denies all wrongdoing, but a second owner told USA Today, if we've got evidence that this stuff happened, that's the nail in the coffin. We are counting votes. It would require 24 votes from the 32 owners, 3/4, to remove Dan Snyder. And they've always been super hesitant on doing this because they don't want a precedent where an owner can lose his job for basically being a bad guy, because they all know that none of them are saints either, Jerry Jones. And they don't want that as a precedent. They want to go to their graves defending the old white boys club to make sure that, hey, just because Dan Snyder was a bad boy doesn't mean we want to take his team away, because what it means for the rest of us. But you start stealing the money, well, they want you out. So the counting of the votes, we are counting the votes. That's the best evidence yet that the clock is ticking on Dan Snyder, which means, and this is just like any set of politics, any lobbying, you look around the room and go, who's an ally with this dude? We got to get him out of here, but who's not going to vote against him because he voted for somebody else, or he's somebody's drinking buddy, or that guy knows where the body's buried? All those types of things come into play. And if they get 24 guys that want to turn, guys and gals, I guess, they get 24 of the owners that can turn on Dan Snyder, they'll get him out. And if you are an NFL fan that does not reside in the NFC East, you absolutely can't wait for him to be ousted. If you're a Washington fan, you've waited 20-some-odd years for him to be ousted. But if you're a fan of the Giants, Eagles, or Cowboys, you want him in place, because it's just one less team every single year you got to worry about. As he fires the next head coach and cleans house and can't draft the right quarterback, and there's always a problem, there's always a distraction. Ryan Fitzpatrick admitting, yeah, it always filters down to the team. You want Dan Snyder in place because it's made Washington just a little old speed bump for 22 years. But let's hope, if karma is a thing, that it finally bites Dan Snyder this time around. Get him out. Take a hike. Take your weak ass out of here, Dan Snyder. Total chump. When we come back here on the show, oh, the night in pucks and puns. Canadian bacon. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
The sizzle of the best goals.
Sing us a song. You're the overtime ending man.
The saltiness of the best games.
God, we're having a good time. Having a good time.
We crave the nightly action of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's a hockey, you know. It's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
I feel alive!
All right! Mraz's beloved New York Rangers were on the hot seat down 2-0 at home to the Carolina Hurricanes. That's only one part of yesterday's action to the ice. Mraz has your Canadian bacon. Take it away.
All right, DA, three games on the ice yesterday. We start with the Lightning heading north with a 2-0 lead on the Panthers. The Panthers were trying to claw their way back, and Tampa jumped out to a 1-0 lead before Florida finally scored their first power play goal of the postseason. It was a cat-scratch fever for the Panthers, who had been 0-25 on the power play this postseason prior to that. That momentum, though, would be short-lived as the Lightning would strike four times, four unanswered goals, leaving the Panthers stammering.
Victor Hedman to center ice. Banks it for where Kucherov across the blind high slot. Left circle. Snap goes. Score! What a play! A bomb from Stamkos! Wow. Another incredible pass from Kucherov. It's 3-1 Lightning with 9:37 left in the second.
That call courtesy of the Lightning Radio Network. Yes, Steven Stamkos with 2 goals in the game. That's one less than the Panthers have this entire series. The President's Trophy winners look like dead presidents and better figure out things quick as they face elimination later tonight in Tampa. Your sound by the night comes to us from game number 2, and it was the Rangers in a gotta-have-it game 3 on home ice as the Hurricanes came inland looking to put New York into a tropical depression. It was an unseasonably hot Sunday afternoon in New York City, and Mika Zibanejad would get the Rangers off to a 1-0 lead before everyone hates Chris Kreider in Carolina made it 2-0 for the Rangers. The game would be 2-1 late into the third when Tyler Motte had the juice on an empty netter to ice the Rangers' 3-1 win. However, as time expired, Domi cross-checked Rangers defenseman Ryan Lindgren, leading to a post-game scrum. After the game, Rangers coach Gerard Gallant wasn't galled with the Hurricanes' antics.
No, I wasn't happy with the bullshit at the end of the game that they initiated, We didn't do that when the games were close. We put, they put their guys on. That's fine. If they want to play like that, we got the guys that can match up.
It's pretty standard in the playoffs, though. That should say, do you believe in that at all? Does that work?
I don't like it at the end of a game. The game's over. We still got 4 games to go with those guys. They're not sending any message. We got the guy that can handle all their guys if we want to. And we didn't do it like that. But Domi took a cheap shot of their defenseman and, You got a long memory in this. You think about things, and like I said, might be on the other foot someday.
Is that a threat? Maybe it's a threat. The Hurricanes have lost all 4 road games they have played this postseason, and they better figure it out soon. Otherwise, this series will be evened up on Tuesday night with Game 4 set back at Madison Square Garden. And finally, DA, the Battle of Fat Alberta, took us to Edmonton with the series even at a game apiece. The first period was scoreless, but the second period is where the storylines became interesting. A year ago, an NHL player was involved in a scandal with serious gambling allegations. Some losses were allegedly so bad, we thought maybe he'd be living in Evander by the river. On Sunday night, maybe we should all have bet on Kane.
Dreisaitl off to Connor McDavid with Kane. Centers Kane for the hat trick. He scores! Evander Kane! A natural hat trick in the second period! And Edmonton running Calgary right out of the building! The Oilers pouring it on!
Yeah, that call courtesy of the Oilers Radio Network. Yes, a natty hattie for Evander Kane, who was without a team in January and now has 10 goals this postseason. What an amazing story. Connor McDavid would add 3 assists on the night, and the Oilers fan the flames for a 4-1 win to take a 2-1 lead in this series. Game 4 is Tuesday night, and that is your Canadian bacon.
All right. Wow! Is that 4.5? Whoa! Wow! Mraz's first ever 4.5 Canadian bacon. 4.5 out of 5 oinks. Wow! Well, it was very, very good. It was very, very good. It is hard to even find too much to grade down, which is what I assume is why Pete the Body went 4.5. I really like Cat Scratch Fever. I just honestly wish you would have actually done another bar and said, Cat Scratch Fever. Ba-da-da-da.
I've already been penalized for not getting the beats right on songs. So
I was waiting on ba-da-da-da. Lightning Would Strike is good. The Dead Presidents line, excellent. The President's Trophy winners are now Dead Presidents. Awesome. Tropical Depression. Gallant was Galad.
I had to keep my cheese.
That one was pretty cheesy. Really like Fat Alberta. Hey, hey, hey. That was really good. That was definitely. That was to me and Pete's love of 1970s television. I thought maybe your best pun was Evander by the river. How'd you even come up with that one?
There are people that were notified of that line last night during the game that listened to the show. Multiple people.
Did you think of it or somebody wrote that for you?
I absolutely thought of it, and I knew it was going to be so good that I wanted to put out a pre-sale of it, if you will.
Evander by the river?
Yes.
That's really good.
Foxy, Upside Down Mike, and I believe even Cap were notified of that line last night.
Really good. Evander by the river. Wow. I don't think I could have ever come up with that.
Tying to losing the money with the gambling, yes.
Excellent. Fan the Flames, good. There was only 2 light things I would grade down on. I didn't get you heard me wrong on Max Domi.
I called him Max Dummy because of his idiotic nature.
Okay.
So I gave you heard me wrong, Domi. I purposely called him Dummy and then gave you heard me wrong.
Okay. Okay, didn't catch that. And then the Everyone Hates Chris Kreider in Carolina was a little wordy for me.
All right.
Everyone hates Chris Kreider in Carolina.
It was a good show for a short-lived period.
Got to go with the Carolina. A little accent on it.
Well, and I gave you the Panthers stammering Stamkos with the goal.
That's good, too. Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. I would just, lightly grade down. Yeah, it was. I probably would have said 4.25, but only because I didn't think maybe Pete was going to go 4.5 there. But, Pete, tell me your grading there.
Well, I think it was his best writing and the best flow he's had. I would. The middle part in the Rangers story, I think, got a little wordy where you could tell he was a little out of breath. So cut that maybe shorter sentences on that, and it would have been maybe a 4.75. The Domi thing, I was like, I don't think it hit. And then for me, this is just a personal preference. This didn't grade him down on this part, but the gotta have it line, I feel like we can add another line, add something else instead of that all the time. in those types of games. But that's just me. But that didn't affect his score.
Mraz is trying to push that as kind of his signature.
Yeah.
Instead of a must win.
It's a got to have it.
It's a got to have it.
Especially when it's not literally a must win. I also just want to throw out there, the other line besides Evander by the river that I thought people were really going to enjoy, but maybe it's just me with kids, Tyler Mott had the juice. No? Mott's juice?
It was good. It was good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mott's juice.
Yeah.
It was good.
Okay.
That's fine.
Not everything can be perfect.
Yeah, I don't give my kids juice, so it was a little over my head.
Yeah, it was good.
All right.
But Evander by the river is one of your great lines ever.
I was told in one of my responses back, eat your heart out, Pat Boyle, when I sent that.
Yeah. It's really good. I guess the only thing, honestly, now that your fundamentals are so crisp, now that you've really, really gone to the combine, you've gone to OTAs, you obviously have worked on all the fundamentals. Now it's really just about the flavor. And if I could have gotten a cat scratch fever, the fat Alberta, hey, 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 great. Now it's just about adding the Mraz spice on there. A little loosey, a little crazy, a little zany, a little funny. But now you can just, you've built the cake. You baked the perfect cake. Now you're just, it's about all the craziness on top.
Find the right icing.
Yeah, the right icing, a few candles in there, maybe a zany way to sing happy birthday, and you're good to go.
All right. Hey, we'll get back to the lab. I'm very happy. Yeah, thank you.
How do you feel about a 4.5?
Good. There was a part of me that thought today, I think this is a 4.5, but do I get a makeup call from Pete on Friday? You know, one of the old hockey makeup calls. But I actually don't think it was that because I do think it was worthy of it.
Yeah, but the thing is, Pete has proven his integrity in scoring, okay? He is consistent.
Has he?
Yes. He is consistent. The man is not going to give you a makeup call.
I don't think he did because I do think that this was 4.5 oinkers, and I was really, really making sure I did not read this without a slip up, without a stumble, because I thought the script was that good.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with it. You're not going to get a lot of fight backs from me. I put the work in, and I'm happy with the result. I'm happy with the teacher's grading today.
How many of these has he done now?
Well, this is now season 3, but we've only graded them for 3 weeks in one show.
Okay, so the grading is still relatively new.
Yeah.
This is a high score for him, I imagine?
Remarkably high.
Yeah, you can only get 5 oinks. I've been hovering in the threes.
No, I know 5 would be the top. I'm saying this is the highest you've gotten so far.
4.5 for sure.
4.5, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and there was some controversy Friday.
CO. Yeah, no, I was all over that. I saw the various social media posts.
Now, for the record, CeeLo, nobody's ever achieved the mythical 5 oinks.
What was the top Pat Boyle score on his fill-in run?
4.75.
Okay,
that's so as high as anybody's ever achieved.
So you haven't quite gotten to the top of the mountain yet.
No, but as DA said, it's about building a foundation, build a base. Now I got to throw the icing on the cake.
Because here's the problem: once he matches that, or gets a 5 at some point, I mean, where's the motivation? What happens then?
Yeah, then at that point he's got the big contract.
What do you mean, where's the motivation? The motivation is to make sure the moment you fall down from it, it's hard to get back up.
You'll have tasted a championship, though. Will you still be hungry for another championship?
I'm like Bill Russell. Put rings on every finger.
Now, I don't know if we'll ever achieve or live long enough to see the mythical 5 oinks.
Yeah, I mean, knowing Bilotti's integrity, as you mentioned, that's got to be a very special morning and a very special performance. So, I think you might be waiting a while for that one, Mraz.
I mean, it would take the perfect Canadian bacon.
Oh, yeah.
It would take the perfect writing, the perfect delivery, the perfect balance of a great night in hockey. You'd have to have a lot of action, a lot to talk about. And then also hitting on all cylinders, have fundamentally it be sound, the writing have to be unbelievable, and you'd have to have one or two laugh out loud moments, plus a wow, how'd you think of that writing moment too. I don't know. All the stars would have to align. I just can't see a mythical 5 oinker happen.
And this is why when it becomes a mythical 5 oinker, somebody like me who spent his whole life making sure he got into college with C's shoots for a 4.5 oinker. Like, I got what I was shooting for.
This was his 5 today.
Yeah. If I get 4.5, as far as I'm concerned, that's as good as a 5, because a 5 is almost impossible.
I think it's a little bit like going undefeated in the NFL. You know, it's just everything has to go your way. Not only do you have to have a great offense and a great defense and veterans across the board, you also have to make your way through a season unscathed, no injuries. Then you have to make your way through the playoffs. Now there's a 17th game. Plus, you got to make your way through all the scrutiny and media attention and not have a helmet catch. You know, there's also just a bounce of the ball. There's just a little puck luck, you know, if you will.
Sure.
It's why I just think the mythical five winks is just out of reach.
Just going to dangle out there in DA show lore.
I'll keep shooting.
Can't quite reach high enough to grab hold of
you can make the case I never get as high as I did today.
Today could be your peak, your apex.
As Pete shakes his head yes, which means he's taking in all this analysis.
Now, it is interesting the timing-wise, since there was such controversy at the end of last week about your scoring. I wonder if this will forever be tainted where we...
Can't believe we're having this conversation.
Where 2.5 weeks from now, the season's kind of coming to a close. We're into the final. You've at that point had a 3.75, maybe a 4, a couple of 3.5s, maybe even a 4.25. And we look back at your high score being a 4.5 and go, boy, and that was interesting that it came directly on the heels of you bellyaching and storming out of the studio because you thought the scoring was so unfair.
Well, indeed, I'm glad you bring that up because Tampa Bay Lightning won a Stanley Cup in a bubble and then won a weird season where they beat a Canadiens team that wouldn't normally play in a cup. And now here they are on the verge of an Eastern Conference final that I think even if you have some luck along the way in the timing, you still end up proving yourself worthy. So I am going to prove myself worthy. It's another big night on the ice tonight, and let's go. Tomorrow morning, I'm back at it.
Interesting to me that Boyle stepped in short notice and managed to set the bar as high
cold,
as he did.
Cold.
Yeah, off the bench. Inexperienced.
He was amazing.
Hmm.
Now, he did have 1-3. He did have 1-3. But he had the other three were 4-4-2-5 and 4-7-5.
I mean, I'm just looking at that peak performance.
CeeLo, as I've said numerous times, it's very hard to do this preparing for 2 months' worth of jokes as opposed to just letting it all hang loose for 4 days.
I see. So night to night, you feel like you've got better game, but you're
what am I going to do?
You're
Lightning
keeping
Panthers.
Some things holstered for
I can't do cat
future
fever
Canadian
patients. Can't do cat scratch fever tomorrow. I got to come up with something else. So that's what I'm talking
Millions
about.
Millions of other songs you can pick.
Chris Lopresti is in for headlines. He's got our headlines right now.
All right. Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, it's a lot of things. Bundled today at Progressive.com. The Warriors have done everything but put the final nail in the Mavericks. They took game 3 in Dallas last night. 109-100. They go up 3-0 in the NBA's West Finals. 31 points, 11 assists for Steph Curry. Luka Doncic, in a losing effort, had 40 and 11 boards. Here's Jason Kidd. Seems pretty satisfied that his team made it this far to begin with.
None of you guys had us here. You guys were all supposed to be on vacation. And yeah, I know. And so it's cool to go through this. And we're going against, you can call them a dynasty.
Game 4 Tuesday night in Dallas with Golden State going for the closeout. Justin Thomas began Sunday 7 shots behind at Southern Hills. He missed a makeable birdie putt on the 18th hole. Had to sweat it out in the clubhouse as Mito Pereira made a mess of 18 himself. He ended up with a double bogey and out of a 3-hole playoff, which saw Thomas beat Will Zalatoris by a stroke to capture his second career PGA Championship, also his second major overall and his first since 2017. From baseball, the White Sox swept a doubleheader from the Yankees, including this in the nightcap.
A 1-1. Fly ball well hit, deep to right. That baby's going to go! Tim Anderson booed all night here in New York, and he says, "Do you hear that? That's a 3-run homer, and it's 5-0.
White Sox radio capped the scoring in Game 2 as they finished off the sweep a day after Anderson and Josh Donaldson got into it. Donaldson claims the whole Jackie reference was an inside joke with Anderson stemming from a 2019 interview that he gave to SI. Anderson's White Sox teammate Liam Hendricks not buying what Donaldson was selling.
Usually you have inside jokes with people you get along with, not people that don't get along at all. And so that statement right there was complete bull.
And adding to what you said about Donaldson last hour, DA, when you called him a turd, Hendricks also added that he's asked around to all the other clubhouses Donaldson's been a part of and got the sense he wasn't liked in any of them.
Yeah, so that's kind of been the worst-kept secret in baseball, that nobody seems to like this guy.
Indeed. The Twins erased a 6-0 deficit after 7 innings, beat the Royals 7-6. Another game winner for Rougned Odor, Orioles over the Rays in 11-7-6. And the Red Sox finished off a 4-game sweep of the Mariners in dramatic fashion.
Here's the pitch.
Swinging a high drive into right field. Moore back at the track, at the wall. Gone! A walk-off game-winning grand slam for Franchi Cordero.
Will Fleming, Red Sox Radio. That made it 8-4 Boston, the final in 10. From the National League, Manny Machado stayed hot. 4 extra base hits as the Padres hammered the Giants 10-1, and the Cardinals crushed the Pirates 18-4. A couple of home runs in that game for Albert Pujols.
Thank you much, CeeLo. When we come back here on the DA Show, we are rolling right along on this fine Monday morning. Let's get to the Miami Heat. Now 2 wins away. Half the work is done to get to the NBA Finals. Can they pull it off with this roster? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
When I'm saying, it's just, again, it's not...
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I see now. Glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. I highly encourage you to watch the show. You can watch it on your phone at watchda.com. That's also available on your laptop, on your PC, on your tablet, your phone. It's mobile friendly. Also, you can watch it on Twitch. Go to the CBS Sports Radio channel there. And then chat alongside the other D-Aliens watching on Twitch as well. Because there's a buzz now that we have set the date for the Bob's Bar remote coming up on Friday, June the 3rd. 2 Fridays from now, we are going to host our second annual Bob's Bar show and do it at Mraz's dad's house in the backyard. We're going to have some local celebrities drop it on by as well, which we will unveil as we creep closer to the event. And this year is open to the listeners. That's right, public admission. Everybody is welcome. And so come on in. Don't feel like you have to come, of course. No matter where you live, we understand it could be quite a hike to get there. But if you do make it, you are welcome to hang out in lawn chairs in Bob's backyard and watch us do the show and have some drinks, have some food. Bob will have the bar going and have the grill going as well. Maybe some breakfast sandwiches. But just remember, nobody likes a mooch, so make sure you bring something. Doesn't have to be something crazy expensive, but, you know, some drinks, some sodies, maybe some pastries, a bag of chips. Doesn't have to be crazy. Don't break the bank, but just bring a little something to nosh on so that you can share with everybody. Make sure you contribute. And bring a lawn chair or a blanket to put on the ground because seating will be limited. I believe there will be approximately 8 seats around the bar and then a few patio furniture, chairs, and couches. Seating for maybe another 10 to 12. So you're talking about seating for maybe 20. Bayou Bear takes 3 of those.
Fair.
So I'm just saying, bring some lawn furniture.
Yeah, there's an upper porch. That might be the VIP area where you get in if you're a regular at Bob's Bar. We don't know. There's the sightseeing people were there this weekend trying to figure everything out.
You don't want the SRO signs when you're trying to look for a seat.
Right. The Miami Heat go to Boston and get that Game 3 victory, 109-103. They had to kind of hold on for dear life late, but Bam Adebayo has one of the games of his life, 31 points. And it was a gutty win. It was an impressive win. It said a lot about the Miami Heat as a franchise. And I thought it was so interesting. When you look at the makeup of this roster, look at the type of players that are making up a team that's halfway to an NBA Finals for the second time in 3 years. Okay, Jimmy Butler is a star, but Butler was also drafted the end of the first round, 30th overall. Kyle Lowry has been a really good player for a really long time, but is certainly at the back end of his career and has been injured for a bulk of this season, or at least the last series, but picked 24th overall. Max Strus is a G League guy. PJ Tucker was a second round draft pick. Bam Adebayo, middle of the first round, 14th overall, but has been a bit of a project over the course of his career. Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson. These guys, again, are G League type players, end of the bench type guys. Now, Tyler Hero was, again, middle of the first round. He was 13th overall. But by and large, it is a roster getting massive contributions and leaning on players that might not have a job elsewhere. And it's the Miami Heat way. I think Pat Riley loves finding those guys because he knows they're all in. They don't know when their next contract is coming. They're not fat and happy. They're not content. It's very Patriots-esque to find guys that just are grinders that you know have to buy in because they don't have the ego because they're not superstars. But the Heat are doing this with end of the first round or G League guys, or second rounders, or at best, the 14th pick overall. It's pretty amazing. It's the attitude of the Heat, and they're two wins away from their second NBA Finals in 3 years. When we come back, the Warriors are almost there.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.